Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is often referred to as the Heroes of Faith chapter. We begin reading there with verse 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. A little boy, we had a nice picture book of Bible stories, and I still kind of remember being very troubled by the story of the stoning of Stephen. There was an image of him having people throwing rocks at him, similar to the one by Gustave Doré on our bulletin for today. And I just remember as a child being so bothered by this. And when you're 4 or 5 years old, it's hard to figure out why would anybody want to kill a Christian, especially a Christian pastor. Especially, my dad was a pastor. And it's like, why would somebody want to throw rocks at a Christian when we are supposed to be loving each other and bringing the best things to people in the world? Why in the world would anybody want to do that? It's sort of a sad twist that the church of believers, the believers in Christ in this world, they form, around the world, they form the one institution that alone brings peace with God through the work of Christ. They are the one institution alone that represents heaven. And through that church alone can people be brought to faith in Christ and ultimately go to heaven. And you'd think that people would think these are the things that we need the most in our lives. These are the things that should matter the most to us to get us out of our graves. And yet that same institution is the most highly persecuted thing through the centuries. Why in the world is that? And we see it around the world even today. In various nations and cultures and peoples, various lands, why is it that those who represent Christ are so often put down by the world? What is it that they have or possess that is so stinking offensive to this unbelieving world? Well, they have the gospel. They have the good news of what Christ has come to do for us, to pay for our sins. They have the word of God. They represent heaven and God himself. There's a new movie coming out about Harriet Tubman, and she was one of my heroes as a child. I remember reading her biography. And Harriet Tubman was a devout Christian woman. And at one point when she was sick in her bed, and partly due to how she had been so badly treated by her master, she prayed every day that God would convert the heart of her master, that he would change his heart to one that truly loved and appreciated Christ. Think how ironic it is that despite how much the world may hate and mistreat Christians, that we still love people and we still care about them, or we should. One of the biggest indicators that this world is ruled by the devil and his cohorts is this ongoing hatred toward the Church of Christ. St. Paul once wrote about believers, not many were wise, not many are influential, not many were of noble birth. It's not like there's some big, tremendous army out there. They're kind of flying under the radar in life, pretty humble and lowly for the most part. And as our text says, from how God sees them, the world was not worthy of them. The author to the Hebrews says they did not receive the promise. That doesn't mean they didn't get to go to heaven, but it meant in this life, believers don't really get to ever grab and hold on to the very thing that they're waiting for. We never get to actually possess it and touch it in this life. And yet, despite that, because of the faith God has instilled in our hearts, we're waiting for it. We're longing for it. It's our treasure. It's the thing that we're looking forward to the most. But how strange that probably makes us appear to the world. How weird and off-center we seem to be to the world, that this is what we're waiting for and longing for. And yet what's interesting is despite all of that difference as to how the world looks at this stuff and how we do as Christians, we get it. We understand why they feel that way. We understand why they have a hard time realizing what we're holding on to through faith in Christ. There are many who throughout their lives have been willing to sacrifice even the final thing in this world, their life, for the cause of knowing Christ. Our text refers to them. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. One of the evangelists, St. Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, went down into North Africa to preach the gospel. And because of preaching the gospel, in the mid or late 60s, one day he was grabbed and taken by a mob out into the street. They tied a rope around his neck and dragged him until he died. And they finally just buried his bones in a shallow grave there in, this would have been in Alexandria, Egypt. Hundreds of years later, about 750 years later or so, and through the years, Christians had kind of told each other where Mark's grave was. But about 150 or 750 years later, the Islamic forces had claimed this region of the world as a caliphate, which meant that it was now Islamic soil, and everything in the soil likewise belonged to the worship of Allah. And because of that, some hidden Christians went and dug up the bones of St. Mark. And they brought them to, and with the help of a couple of monks, they put them on a ship to take them to Italy, where they could receive a Christian burial once again. And in order to prevent any of the Muslim soldiers on the ship from discovering the bones, they covered them in pork and cabbage, knowing that they wouldn't want to touch pork because that's an unclean meat to a Muslim. And through that process, they had his bones brought back to Venice, Italy. And a huge church was erected there 100 or more years later and still stands there today, St. Mark's Church. If you look on the medallion up here, you will see the symbol of a lion at the top. And these are the four gospels, the four evangelists around the throne in heaven, as we hear in the book of Revelation. And in St. Mark's Church, you'll often see the lion as a representation of the gospel of St. Mark. When I hear about the martyrdom that various Christians have had to endure through the centuries, it makes me ask of myself, am I willing to give up something so great and precious in my life for knowing Christ? Now, we are to admire the saints as far as their faith, but not idolize them, and certainly not pray to them. There's no instruction like that in Scripture. And yet to admire not them so much as the faith that the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts to cause them to grasp Christ so firmly. Many stories of martyrdom that we hear about, too, may stir up a greater love inside of us for each other and for fellow Christians in this world, that we support one another. St. John writes this passage. He says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." That's one of the indications we're in the church of God, is we have a love for fellow Christians. And it should stir up in us a desire to persevere with Christ and to hang on to our faith. For each child of God, in various different ways, there will be a cost to you following the Savior and possessing the gospel. And that may come in a variety of forms. It may be just getting picked on and ridiculed. It may mean other ways. It might even someday, I hope and pray not, might even cost you your life. But through all of this, the Church of Christ in this world, because of what their Savior has come to do for them, possesses this great longing for the home in heaven, where all of God's saints will stand together around the throne of our Savior and sing his praises. And that's exactly what our text is reminding us of. I love this line. God has provided something better for us. It'll be fun to find out what that is. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of Judy Head from our dining services, who suffered a heart attack last night. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of our friend Judy. We pray that you would now be with her through these very trying and difficult days. And if it is your will, we pray that you would strengthen her in her body and use this ordeal to draw her closer to you in the knowledge of Christ that you've given all of us in your saving word. We commit her into your loving care. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Our closing hymn, Rise Again, Ye Lion-Hearted, I just want to draw your attention to the melody was written by Alfred Fremder, who was the choir director here at Bethany for many, many years, back in the 30s and 40s. We joined to sing.